It was tormenting me.
I actually wasn't teasing you. We were recording. It takes a few seconds of backlog to actually record. But on that note, I want to welcome everybody to the world according to Ben Stein. I want to thank everybody that's been downloading the podcast. It's been great on Apple Podcasts and iTunes and Stitcher and Google Play, and all the great reviews have been humbling. And we're thank you very much. I want to remind everybody, benstein.substack.com is where the email where you could find us for any news updates, and also locals.com. I apologize the other day for we didn't do a show out of sickness to me, but we should have.
I wasn't feeling well either. So let's be honest about this. I wasn't feeling well either. I had eaten a tremendous, enormous amount of excessively seasoned and crisp bacon.
I think people are more worried about my COVID than your indigestion.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Okay.
But
what kind of seasoning?
Was anybody else sick on Monday that they want to compete with my sickness of COVID?
No, you're right, Judy. Your sickness is far more important than anyone else.
I got to tell you something though. As I'm speaking, you know, like as a singer, the older they get, they can't get louder. They have to find a note that they could hit. Because of my lung capacity, because of what COVID, how sick I am, I can't get past a certain point. But I want to welcome everybody to the world according to Ben Stein. Of course, Ben, I feel terrible for your indigestion. And and of course, we're joined tonight back from Media Action Network, my mother's favorite news aggregate, Ken LaCourte. How are you, sir?
Very good. Thanks for having
me. You look great. And of course, Ben Boychuk, managing editor. I can't remember how you wanted me to introduce you, Ben Boychuk. I'm sorry.
The appallingly amateurish American greatness,
as cited by The Week, not The Weekly Standard.
The Week.
What is The Week?
The Week is a kind of a latter day, what Time and Newsweek used to be. They try to do a roundup of the news every week. They still exist as a print magazine, but their website, they have a lot of commentary, mostly from liberals, including a former partner of mine. But in this case, this guy, David Ferris. Writing partner of mine. We used to have a syndicated column, and then we had a falling out, and now he writes for The Week, and I write for the appallingly amateurish and edit for the appallingly amateurish American greatness.
Thank you. And on that note, of course, the show wouldn't be complete without actor, writer, provocateur, saint, sinner, lover, father, grandfather, mathematician, statistician, husband, but most importantly, Dr. Benjamin Jeremy Stein.
Doctor. I like that, Judah. This is the first time you've ever introduced me as doctor.
Oh.
Doctor. Give me the news. I got it. Bad case of rhythm and blues.
It definitely helps with the not having to speak much. But I want to get right to it. And Ben Boychuk is playing the role of Judah Friedman tonight.
Who can really play the role of Judah?
Who can? But I want to get to this right off the bat. Regardless of what you think of January 6th, Ben Stein last year, obviously we've all said stupidity occurred. We've said certain things. But Kamala Harris today.
Oh, God. You know, can I just tell you something?
Yes.
I am an old man. I really can't. I don't know how much I can take of this.
She said it'll go down in infamy, like 9/11 and Pearl Harbor.
No. Okay. Tell, what did she really say?
That's exactly fine. What she said.
Ben, I couldn't even make that up if I tried.
That is exactly what she said.
So we now know that our opponents are not only very stupid, not only mean-spirited, but actually incredibly ignorant and also insane.
Yeah.
And audacious, Ben. I mean, you talk about big lies. You know, the big lie of the 2020 election. But to compare two incidents where the United States lost thousands of lives to an event where people marched through the statuary hall and remained within the red velvet ropes. It's ignorant, yeah. It's insane, yeah. But the audacity to say such a thing, such a comparison.
I don't think that goes far enough. I mean, this woman is incredibly ignorant. We know she has lied to us about every possible thing she could about her life. But to compare this peaceful protest, I mean, why don't they talk about the going over the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Alabama as being comparable to Pearl Harbor? Why don't they say this is comparable to the Holocaust? They have simply no sense of any effing thing. I am reminded, if I may say this, of another person, a woman of color. Kamala Harris is an Indian. This woman I'm referring to right now is an African-American. She just yesterday or the day before said, as everyone knows, the Civil War began in 1865. Jesus Christ, how can any American be that ignorant? But anyway, this woman is a dangerously ignorant person. She's vice president of the United States. When Mr. Biden's ticker goes out, as it probably will any moment, she's the president.
Yes.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, no, it's frightening. And Ken, listen, regardless of your thoughts on that day, and it was stupid, and it had the potential to cause a lot of danger, and it was not a great idea to storm the Capitol like these people did, especially the ones...
Oh, Juno, with respect to you, my very, 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 very dear friend.
Yes.
That was not storming.
That was marching.
That was
marching. Or whatever they did. I'm trying to make it the worst case scenario in my head, Ken, of what those people did that day. And obviously the only person...
And Kamala Harris.
What?
And Kamala.
And Kamala Harris.
If you're at Denny's and Kamala comes up and says, hi, my name's Kamala, I'll be your waitress, you know you're not getting your food right. I mean, you know he's getting the grand slam over here. I mean, she's just not a crazily bright woman.
Ben, you know we could hear you even if you whisper, right?
Well, he's getting his pizza.
Yeah.
I'm getting pizza for my guest.
Okay.
For my guest who actually was wounded in the attack on the Capitol.
Okay, thanks. But go on, Ken.
That was it. Look, the Democrats have see this, and I suspect that they are right on this. They see this as the best issue to stop Donald Trump from becoming president again. Wherever you stand on it, it polls probably the best with moderates and independents, and certainly whips up their own party. So by them going to complete hyperbole, but I mean, look, we live in an age of political theater. I mean, it was
yeah, hence them showing Hamilton this morning, yeah, as they started the introduction to all this. Nancy Pelosi, Ben Boychuk, right? She started playing, having the cast of Hamilton.
It was right. They had a video performance of a song from Hamilton that was sung by Aaron Burr.
They probably don't even know who Aaron Burr was.
No, they don't. They don't understand any significance of that. That's not fair. You ordered coffee? Oh shoot! I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I forgot. I'll get it right
now. Yeah, I'm coming right now.
That's your best. That is your best line ever on this show, Ken. That's really, really good.
I brought this up with somebody today, and I said to them, if they're, and Ben Boychuk knows this better than anybody, Julie Kelly from American Greatness has a new book out. I could guarantee you everything that I don't have, that if there were really scenes of violence at the Capitol every night for the past year on video, what, all of a sudden now there's no video? For 4 years they had Trump on trial with no evidence.
Now you know, if I may say so, the playbook was written by Goebbels with a lot of inspiration and help from the Fuhrer. It was fantastic, unbelievable, incredible. When the Fuhrer said, but you know something? I read a lot about World War II. My wifey and I are obsessed with World War II. Her father was a big, big, big World War II hero. The Fuhrer told incredible lies, unbelievable lies. But he said Jews were horrible people, horrible, horrible people. They weren't even people. He said they were human tuberculosis. but at least there were Jews. That part was true. There were Jews. This is all made up. What Kamala Harris said, it was all made up.
Yeah. I mean, right. So, yeah, I mean, look, there was violence. There was violence. There's
by the police.
By the police. Yes. Well, I mean, and we've had, and
there
so
was,
Julie,
there was mild, there was a decent amount of mild violence.
No, there wasn't.
There was some, I saw a couple of those women.
Where did you see it, Ken?
I'll give you the links after this show.
He's referring to them breaking through the barricades.
Look, they broke through barricades.
Breaking the barricades is not violence, Ken. Let Ken finish.
Let Ken finish his point. Let Ken finish his point before we make fun of him.
Told my girlfriend, I'm like, yeah, shit, I'm the closet liberal today. It's like, yeah. They not only pushed through that, they broke windows and doors of the Capitol. I saw, you know, just let me at least.
Ben, let you, let him go.
I saw pepper spray being used on cops, and it was a big style, like a bear spray, thick pepper spray. I saw one guy with a bat in there. I saw another guy swinging a metal pole at a cop. I saw a lot of pushing and shoving and mild violence. It's not no violence. It was not people just walking around
Let me ask you a question.
That certainly could have been some later in the day, but
Ken, let me ask
there was
you a
mild
question.
Level of violence. How can we
Ken,
not say that?
Sure. Is it 4 years
in respect? With all due respect, Ken, having worked with you now for some time, God bless you for your intelligence and knowledge, and patriotism and charm.
You know something grand is coming
over, pushing over a barricade.
Mason cops spray. Pushing
that
them
is
out
not
of the way.
Violence. When I want to see blood spill, that's violence.
Okay. I'm going to tell you that the next time somebody on Boulevard. Okay.
Ken, here's the
gets,
thing.
Let's just be honest here.
I don't want to do the thing.
What are you talking about, Ken? What are you talking about?
I'm just saying that's an interesting level of violence. And the next time somebody gets pepper sprayed, blood is violence. You're right. Then there was no violence.
Okay,
if that's your definition.
Who was Roseanne Boylan? Who here knows who Roseanne Boylan was?
I don't.
Ken?
No, I wish I did.
Roseanne Boylan was the woman who the DC medical examiner said died of a drug overdose. She was one of the protesters who died on January 6th, and the DC examiner said she died of a drug overdose. What happened was she had Adderall in her system, but what happened most likely, based on video evidence that we do have, and Julie Kelly has chronicled this at American Greatness, what happened was she was most likely beaten to death in one of the tunnels going into the Capitol building in that huge melee between the cops and the protesters trying to get through. And there was a lot of nightsticks flying, and there was a lot of punches, and that woman was beaten down, and she was probably trampled to death. And so there's another woman who survived by the name of Victoria White, who was also there, who was also beaten, who also managed to get out by the skin of her teeth. But there was my point in bringing these two women up and the violence between protesters and the cops is that there's a lot we don't know. And there's a lot we don't know precisely because there's still about 14,000 hours of video evidence that has not been released, has not been made public. You would think
it never will be.
Well, yeah, right. Maybe we'll see.
Just like the Vegas shooter and everything else.
Right,
it'll never be released.
Right. Because even though this was the most appalling attack on American democracy since 9/11 and Pearl Harbor, for some reason, the American people don't get to see all of the evidence.
And Ben,
there was no effect from it.
Ben, Ted Cruz called it a terrorist attack.
Ted Cruz? No.
Ted
no.
Cruz. Yeah.
No.
Oh, this is a great, right, Ben, right, this is a great story.
Yeah.
This is a great story. Yesterday, I guess it was from the floor. Well, he tweeted it. He went on Twitter and said that this was a terrorist attack. And that anybody who attacks a police officer for whatever reason needs to go to prison for a long, long time. But he emphasized that what happened on January 6th at Congress was a terrorist attack. And so he was on Tucker Carlson. We're recording this a little bit after 7 on the West Coast a couple of hours ago. and Tucker Carlson had him on, and Tucker says,
and Ben showed me the video. It's great.
Tucker says, so you told a lie. And Cruz replies, you know, what I said, I shouldn't have said what I said yesterday. I misspoke.
Yeah. I didn't use my words correctly.
I didn't use my words correctly. And Carlson comes back and says, what? No, whoa. I don't believe you.
No. What he said was, I've known you since before all of this, and you are one that is very careful and perfect with their words. And I don't believe a word. I don't believe what you are saying. And Bennett invoked when Trump called him Lion Ted. And it's sort of, you know, swears on the Bible and then goes and lies. And it reminds me of just, it's sort of like, I don't get it. And listen, Ken, I love that you're coming on and talking about this and going against this. It's not easy to have your position. I think a lot of us have the position that we watched what happened in the summer of 20, and then we saw this and we said, who cares? And I believe a lot of that for some of us has to do with this, Ken. So I appreciate, though, that you have enough courage to stand up for your own convictions. So it's greatly...
Yeah, Ben. And Ben, before you guys attack me, you always say how much you like me.
So no, we don't really like you, but
I like it just fine, Ken.
Ben Stein.
Well, can I give you my Ted Cruz story? Yeah. I was at a dinner of a wonderful, wonderful magazine that I write for, and I was sitting next to Ted, or well, maybe one seat away from Ted Cruz, and Ted Cruz was the main speaker of the evening, and he said, "Look, we don't really have that much of a problem with our economy." This is when Mr. Trump was president. He said, all we have to do is raise our output by 1%. By 1%. It's now growing at 2%. All we have to do is raise it to 3%, just by 1%. And all our economic problems are solved. And when he sat down, I said, sir, senator, from 2% to 3% is not 1%, it's 50%. And he looked at me and he knew it.
No. My question is, was it that he knew it and was like, ha ha ha, or he didn't know it?
He didn't know it.
He didn't know it.
And I got to tell you, Ben Stein is the perfect party heckler. If anybody's talking about specifics and numbers, Ben Stein should be at those parties going, you said 1%. That's really 60%. And
what he really meant was he wanted to say 1 percentage point.
Yeah, but he didn't know. He didn't use his words right.
Right.
And on that note, if you just tuned in, you are listening to The World According to Ben Stein. We're having a lively discussion tonight. And of course, I always say it's important to have discourse. It's important to have this stuff and still get along afterwards. Regardless of what your views or opinions on things, we have different views, and we respect everybody's views, except Ken LaCourte's. But I want to welcome everybody.
Where are you, Ken? By the way, I can't tell where you are.
I am in my office in Sausalito.
Want to remind everybody, BenStein.substack.com. Also, catch or download our podcast later on. If you can, please. And also follow us on Rumble if you want to see us in live action. We're joined tonight from the unapologetically pathetic American greatness, Ben Boychuk. I can't remember.
Appallingly amateurish.
And of course, for my favorite.
If the shoe fits.
What's the difference? It's an insult. It's an insult.
I put it on our Twitter bio. I think it's hilarious.
You should put it up on your screen so I could read it. And of course,
I can't.
From the Media Action Network, Ken LaCourte and Ben Stein. Some of you missed the other night. We weren't around. That is because I felt both Ben and I felt horribly ill. Yours truly through COVID. And I just want to tell a quick story because everybody's been hearing me talking about testing and the importance of testing. And I really believe testing is the way out of this. I don't believe vaccines are the way out of this because everybody I know that has COVID right now has been vaccinated. And so many people I know that have COVID have had the booster and been vaccinated. But Monday morning, I had something done. I wish I would have known. And afterwards, Ben and I both had a prescription And I am so grateful that the Pavilion's Pharmacy closes at noon, because if they didn't close at noon, I would have gone there, would have picked up the prescription for myself and Ben. I would have gone to Ben's house and bring them the prescription.
For me, not for myself. For me.
And I would have shaken Ben's hand or shook Ben's hand and been a super spreader in a house where they can't afford a super spreader.
Oh, sure.
And I am so grateful that I went home, I passed out, and by the time I woke up, I knew that there was something physically wrong. And by Monday night, I mean, I want to tell you, I woke up at 3:45 in the morning. My joints felt like they were tearing themselves apart. That's how much pain this this thing is. And Ben, tested.
Is that right? Wow, that's terrifying.
Oh, it was horrible. I had about 102 and a half fever at least.
Wow.
And wow. And I'm not asking people. Listen, this is, you know, thank God. Yep. What, Ben? What, Ken?
No, that's okay. I'm just feeling really sorry for you. I'm so sorry.
No, it was. Let me tell you something. And everybody that knows me knows that I'm not a big, like, when it comes to certain things. But and the reason I'm talking about this is because the week before, 2 weeks before, I was talking about testing. Donald Trump gave us the vaccines. He gave us the vaccines at warp speed. At Ben, it takes 4 days in Los Angeles County to get a COVID test. 4 days.
Wait a minute. Wait. Back up just a second.
Unless you have a private doctor or unless you are willing to pay a certain fee, most places have a line of 4 days to get a rapid test.
Yeah.
And the other test is about 5 days.
Or if you are, as happened in my case, if you have to have surgery for something, then you can get a test in fairly short order.
Or if you have to go to travel, you could pay. So, right. So here I have right in front of me is a rapid test. This is a 15-minute rapid test. And I want to thank the person that brought this over to me. Thank you. It's like having gold right now, because if you order this on Amazon right now, it won't get to your house till the 21st. Right. Ben, I am so upset. Yeah. This administration, this regime has dropped the ball. All they had to do, I was talking to somebody, Ben Stein, Donald Trump got together with private enterprise and got us the COVID vax. He did, whether people are for it or against it.
I love him. You know,
these people couldn't get this thing. What it goes to show you, Ben, it's about the money, because there's more money in vaccines than there are in this $2 test that they sell for $17.
I think there's a lot to that. At first, I was very skeptical about that. But when one of our number, I forget which kind, smart person it was, said that the stock of Moderna had gone up by 2,700%. I saw something was cooking, and something really is cooking. And I don't know what to say, except it is scary. And I will say, if I may, as a person who doesn't have a private doctor, is very, very kind, takes pity on my gray hairs. I got my test in a few minutes, and I pity people who can't do that.
It's not just that.
Which is most people, by the way.
I think, Ben, and I don't know if, and I don't know if this is something we want to talk about or if this, but this is something maybe we can speak about generally, which is that at this point, two things. At this point, thank God for Omicron, because Omicron seems like it's getting closer and closer to the common cold. Although your experience,
wait a minute, Judah's story.
Judah's experience is pretty awful, but it's getting closer to a really bad cold. I've had, you know, it's interesting. I've just in the past week and a half, five people close to me have gotten it, and it hasn't been as nearly as intense. So that's,
it's also hitting younger people too.
And it's hitting. Yeah, it is. That's right. That's hitting.
Yeah, it is. You're right.
Hitting younger people. But the other thing about it is, you know, maybe some of the good news here is, no, what I would like you to think about is it, knowing what we know now, after nearly 2 years of this nonsense, you can sort of have a plan in place with your doctor. Since you've got a private physician, it may not work as well if you have insurance, like a HMO or whatever. But if you have a good doctor with whom you have a great rapport, then you can have a plan in place where you can get whatever it is that you need to nail this thing, much like Joe Rogan did when he got it. I mean, he had a plan in place, and he was able to get, unlike a lot of normal people, he was able to get the monoclonal antibodies and some other treatments that knocked the thing out in really a matter of a couple of days. And that's kind of what I think we want to get to, is we want to get to a point where you can, you know, if you're just prepared, if you're prophylactically taking vitamin D and C and zinc and all of those things, where you, where it doesn't work, where the illness isn't nearly as intense as it might have been otherwise, if you're just kind of prepared for it, if you have a plan for it.
Yeah, Ken, I mean, I want to thank Ben Bojcik, because he and Ben Stein for giving me moral support, but Ben Bojcik was the one that made me get on vitamins and started drinking Gatorade immediately. But getting back to my point, you know, it's, you know, I keep on thinking of Carter and with the gas lines, and now we have COVID lines.
Right.
You know, I mean, we have like people literally knee deep around corners waiting to get tested. So we have sick people possibly standing outside, getting sicker, Ken, trying to get a damn COVID test. Why can't, I mean, it's just, it's only one thing I can think of, Ken, is that it's money.
You know, I don't know how much. I would say in my county, because my county logs how many people have gotten tested on a daily basis, and those numbers have at least doubled. So there, mm-hmm. there definitely is more of a demand for this. But we've also been dealing with this thing for multiple years. We should have had that. It definitely seems as though, you know, hundreds of millions of those should have been stockpiled in one area.
Yeah.
You know, look, all that said, I'm still mildly hopeful that this new variant will help us out, in the sense that it has a very high transmissibility rate. And so far, now, you remember how when we were first tracking this stuff when it came out, you would see cases rise in a state. Then you would see hospitalizations rise maybe 5 days later. And then you would see deaths rise. And it was it got kind of screwed up as time went on, because New York, for instance, lost so many people in the first wave. And once all the old people who were more susceptible to this and people with a lot of conditions were dead, it changed their numbers. On this one, we are seeing infection rates and positivity rates through the ceiling, twice as much as we've ever seen in most states now. But so far, no blip up on the death.
Yeah, except
we've got another week or two, I think, to really understand
It goes more than that, Ben. More people have died in 2021 than did in 2020. So the death scale is supposedly as high is crazy anyways. But the problem is, I don't think we have a handle on this, Ben. I don't, Stein, I don't think, no matter what they say to us, get new scientists in there already. It's done. Fauci had his chance. You're a bum. Just get people, get private industry in, Ben.
Well, with all due respect to you.
Oh, I know it comes after that.
Of course, to Ken and of course to Ben. A virus is a very wily thing. It's a very, very clever, wily thing. Man has really never been able to defeat it. We can control it to some extent. We can give people treatments for it to some extent, but a virus is a lot smarter than a human. And they're just...
that's why I brought up testing.
Yes, testing is great.
That's why I brought it up, because on Monday morning, Ben, there's no way I would have gone... I would have called you in the morning and said, you know, I have COVID. But I wasn't feeling well, so I erred on the side of caution to not get you sick. But if every American every American had this in their household, a lot less people would be getting sick.
Or in his or her household.
Yeah.
Well, if I may respectfully say this, I guess what I wonder is, if you are having pain so severe that sounds like it's the torture of Winston Smith in 1984. What are you going
to
do?
It builds up to it. First of all, it wasn't that.
But what do you do? I mean, as far as, unless you have very, very, very strong analgesics, and not everyone has access to them.
Oh, there's nothing you can do. You got to ride out the storm. If God forbid, you got to go to the hospital. The point, I don't know what you're referring to. I'm simply referring to.
If you're talking about feeling as if your joints are being pulled apart, that's exactly what they did to Winston Smith in the novel 1984. So I am curious to know what would you do about that?
Oh, there's nothing. There's zero you could do about it. You ride it out. You pray. You, as Ben Boychuk says, you take as many vitamins. You take as much Gatorade as possible, and you don't. And you know, you walk around a little bit so it doesn't stay in your chest. There's things you could do, but the problem is, Ben Boychuk, we're 3 years in, really almost, and nobody knows shit. Or two and a half years.
No, we know things, man. We do.
What do we know? What do we know?
Well, first of all, we know that Omicron. I mean, I maintain that Omicron is good news because Omicron, it seems to be so far because the evolutionary path of any virus, including the 1918 Spanish flu, has been to become more transmissible and less deadly because that's evolution, man. That's evolution. Viruses want to live just like anything else that's sort of alive. And that, you know, that virus wants to evolve in a way that it's going to be able to survive. And the way it survives is not by killing everybody.
I don't understand that. That is what viruses do, is kill people. That's what a lot of virus does.
In to some extent, yes. But I mean, the fact is the variation on influenza that we have now is a much, much weaker version of what killed millions of people in 1918, 1919. Yeah, its way out of being deadly to being transmissible. It still kills people. It still kills older people and kills people, but viruses tend to evolve in a way that they become endemic.
I mean, and it's a little bit of a mistake to think of one virus as changing. What it is it's mutating in a number of different ways.
Sure.
And Ben Stein, I'm not so Ben Boychuk, I thought the jury was still a little bit out on severity, but certain on the speed of which it might kill somebody, let's say. If a virus went through your body and killed you within 24 hours, we'd be able to see that. It wouldn't be able to replicate because you'd die pretty quickly. You wouldn't be able to spread that too often. Whereas if something has the ability to spread for a week before it kills you, that type of virus is more likely to survive and replicate throughout the world. So that interestingly, a slow lethality or perhaps never lethality helps that virus spread because the host isn't in the ground or isn't immediately taken to the hospital.
You are talking about these viruses as if they were making out retirement plans and saving money for their old age. I mean, they live by eating cells of human beings or by poisoning them, by getting inside them, killing them.
Sure.
I don't think they have any plans for retirement.
And if they do that too quickly, that virus doesn't replicate as much as a separate virus without any brain that took a little bit longer to get you to let you to go to synagogue and to go to the market and to shake Ben Boychuk's hand. So quick acting viruses have a tendency to die out.
And just for the record, when I found out I had COVID, I was actually happy because I figured if I'm going to get this sick with something, I might as well be COVID and hopefully I build up a certain a tolerance and immunity. But again, I was just angrier, Ben, because I was looking all over for these tests every day at Rite Aid, at all the pharmacies, and I was like, I just wish more people would have access to this so people like me don't make other people that don't have the same type of immune system that are older, that we could control a little bit who gets ill. That was my biggest thing. It's not me getting sick. I'll be
okay. That's a very good point. But how do those tests work? I honestly don't know.
You take a swab, you stick it up both nostrils, you twirl it around, you dip it into a liquid solution. You then have a little, board in front of you, where it says,
you're pregnant or you're not.
I never realized, by the way, just so you know, until COVID, I'm looking for testing, Ken, how many pregnancy tests there are. There's like 62 pregnancy tests out there. And I'm realizing there's so many because so many people probably aren't getting pregnant right now. But Ben, and then you just put three drops in and within 15 seconds, pretty much, it gives you a result.
What does it say?
You got COVID, you're screwed.
It gives you one line. And then if there's two lines, you have COVID.
I want to ask Ben Boychuk, what is the therapeutic value of Gatorade?
Oh, just to make sure you don't, I mean, Gatorade or Pedialyte or whatever, just make sure that you don't lose your electrolytes. You basically, you're trying to fight dehydration like you would with anything else. But the most valuable thing, you know, that any normal person could do before getting COVID and during COVID is to take massive doses, mega doses of vitamin D, vitamin C, as much zinc as your body can tolerate. And there's a supplement called quercetin, which helps cells absorb zinc. Zinc has been proven to be very, very important in treating COVID. Vitamin D has been shown, and people with vitamin D deficiencies have been shown to be more susceptible to the worst of COVID. And so making sure your vitamin D levels are up or good. And then vitamin C, we've known forever and ever, at least since the late 1970s, early 1980s, that vitamin C is great for fighting various viruses, including the common cold. And so and vitamin D, all those vitamin supplements are cheap. You don't necessarily need to spend thousands of dollars on monoclonal antibody treatments when you can do these things that we've known about for a long time.
Well, your humble servant, this old fat man you see in front of the picture of the dog, and just over his left shoulder, his beautiful bride. First litigation I worked on involved a fruit flavored drink called High C. And the question was whether High C was the nutritionally equivalent of orange juice. And this was in the very, very early 70s. Our main witness was Linus Pauling, a Nobel Prize winning super genius chemist. And he was a great advocate of vitamin C. So I, your humble servant, when I was young and thin, all the girls liked me because I was thin, did a lot of research into the effects of vitamin C and orange juice generally. They're fantastically effective at fighting everything bad, incredibly effective. And I second 1,000,000,000% what my good friend Ben Boychuk said about vitamin C. It is the greatest thing since sliced bread, and so is orange juice.
And it doesn't matter if you drink too much of it, it'll come out. You're still getting the vitamins. And Ken,
and Ken
LaCourte, my biggest thing is you don't see any public service announcements for this. You don't see it because it's free, or it's close to free. You don't see them handing out vitamin C to people in stores or vitamins. You don't see them say, no. I mean, this is really important stuff. All you see, Ken, is you still see, make sure you get that vaccination. Well, you know what? 70% of us are vaccinated. Tons of people with the booster are getting Omicron or Delta or whatever it is, Ken. So
well, now there's a new one.
So
now there's another one
right in France.
Yeah.
That causes supposedly 42 strains. And I'm not kidding about that. And then
you get it from eating snails.
If I could backtrack a second, the girls still love you, Ben.
But it's not
because you're thin, it's because you're famous and rich.
I'm not rich. Could we put up some more logs on the fire?
But go ahead, Ken.
As he talks to his servant.
Brother, can you
his
spare...
His manservant, could you
can
put
you
some
spare
more...
a dime?
Go on, Ken LaCourte. Look, that all sounds great. I think throwing the kitchen sink at it seems like it's the right course. Of
vitamin C.
Yeah. Ben Stein, I mean, you should be doing commercials for Minute Maid or Tropicana.
I love vitamin C, and
as we're closing this thought out on this type of subject, if anybody doubts that this is about money, think about it like this. A rapid home test combined probably cost $1.50, Ben. I'm not kidding. This little thing costed probably $1.50. They sell it for $17 to $24. Vitamin C is dirt cheap, as you would say. Zinc is dirt cheap, as you would say, comparatively speaking. And I have no problem subsidizing people that can't afford vitamin C or zinc in the urban city or wherever it is in schools. Every school should be handing out as kids walk in the morning.
Suck on pennies.
Suck on pennies. What?
Suck on pennies.
Suck on pennies.
Aren't pennies mostly zinc now, Ben Stein?
I have no idea. I'm sure it's not a good idea to suck on.
It's not copper anymore. I know that. I think
the man can't make any money if you're sucking on pennies, though. Come on.
You need a lot of help. And on that note, if you just tuned in, you
okay, well, keep. We have a saying that responds to issues like this. Keep coming back, and it works if you work it.
And
I'm going to write that down and ruminate on that.
And I know if you just tuned in, you are listening to The World According to That Man, Benjamin Jeremy Stein. I want to thank everybody that's in the Rumble Rants. I want to remind everybody, please download this episode, that has downloaded this episode, please go to our Rumble page and like the channel, Ben Stein on Rumble. I'm a little still foggy from it. I'll be the first one.
I'm going to make it real easy for you then. Here's my point. Did it really feel as if your joints were being pulled apart? I mean, is it really that bad?
On Monday night, Ben, I was in so much. I don't exaggerate. I'm not one for you know me. I go to the dermatologist for. I have a skin condition, as some people know.
And you go
called alopecia, where I lose hair, and I've gotten at one point 50 to 60 little pinpricks of shots in my head of cortisol cream, and which I handle like a champ. Or when I have to get my face frozen, nothing. This was absolutely nothing. I woke up at 3:45 in the morning, just in extraordinary amounts of pain, and I woke up again. And
I should hope you.
Yeah, thank you.
So Judah.
Yes.
How big of a check, if I said to take that pain or give a $1,000 check to Cortez, AOC?
I'll give the thousand. Give the thousand.
You would have given the thousand. All right.
I would have given now 2,000. AOC. AOC.
Whatever her name is.
It's too low.
Alexandria Ocasio Cortez. It's too low. Socialist from New York.
It's too low of a sum. If it was a sum that could, actually
life changing. You were in pain, my friend.
Yeah,
Let's go on. Why did you call me? You know, I have a huge supply of painkillers.
I did call you the next morning. I was 3:45 in the morning. There's not like anything you could do at 3:45 a.m.
You could drive over and get it.
Ben, did you not hear the amount of pain I was in?
Call Uber. They'll do it.
And get the Uber driver.
Crawl down the stairs onto the sidewalk.
And I'm going to be completely honest. I don't think anybody wants to hear how sick I was. But let me just say, when you're that sick at 3 a.m, your aim is seriously off. That's how bad you're feeling. That even that hurt at 3 a.m. Ben.
I mean, Judah,
I'm not complaining, by the way.
That's the good news. I mean, I remember I had it.
But I'm not complaining.
I have a college friend who was in the hospital for a month the first time, you know, in old school COVID-19. This was like, this was April of 2020. And, you know, the dude was and had serious comorbidities. He's diabetic, had problems for months afterwards. And I get the sense that we're finally turning the corner on this thing. And if you read the book, Ben Stein, by the way, is a book, it's called The Great Influenza by John Barry, not to be mistaken for the composer of the James Bond theme, but John Barry is a very talented journalist.
Or a good basketball player, but that was Barry, but go on.
John Barry's Great Influenza tells the history of the 1918 pandemic. And really, the thing burned itself out after a couple of years, because that's just the nature of viruses. And that's kind of going to the point that I was trying to make earlier, and that it's almost like, your experience, Judah, was intensely unpleasant, worse even than when you got the jab, right? And so, you know, I think that we seem to be heading in the right direction with this virus.
Yeah, thank God it's 3 days later. I mean, I'm very fatigued. I'm upright. I'm still extremely fatigued, but you're completely right.
But you're also a viral young man. Not like Boychek's chubby diabetic college buddy.
But again, But
in his 30s.
But Ben, but Ben really brought up a good point that we didn't get into that I think is we're I don't want to talk about my COVID.
Love that, buddy.
But you know what? Can I tell you something? Because I think people do listen to the show. If you're not feeling well, or if you're tired, or you're feeling a little, just to give you this as an example, if you're a few years back, I was scratching at like something on my face, and I'd gone to the dermatologist. They ended up having to do a biopsy on it, and my dermatologist was basically saying to me, "Your body speaks to you. You know, if something doesn't feel correct on your skin, if something doesn't if physically, take it easy." Don't go out.
Easy. Take it easy, breezy. It's a long slide.
And just take care of yourself. And I think that's the important thing. On Sunday, I was feeling really tired, and I normally don't say to people, I am very tired. And if you're feeling, just take it easy. You're tougher than COVID. Just relax and take it easy. Ben, you brought up a point before that's very scary, which is Biden being a few ticks away from not being president, and
Kamala Harris being president
beyond belief. And I know there's nothing we could do about it, but Ben Stein, my God, we have put ourselves in a position in this country right now, and what's the exit strategy? I mean, I'm being honest. What's the exit strategy?
Let me just go back something. Circle around and get to this. One of the Democratic congresswomen who was referred to as AOC, a giant dyke, as far as I can tell. I'm not an expert, but she looks to me like that. The guy she says is her boyfriend. I see a lot of them in West Hollywood, shopping at the pavilions. Just my opinion. I could be totally wrong. I often make mistakes. That may be one of them. But she said the reason the Republicans hated her so much is because they all wanted to have sex with her and they couldn't. And this goes to my comment about Kamala Harris saying that January 6th was comparable to 9/11 or to Pearl Harbor. These people, I'm sorry to say, are not just ignorant. They're insane. We are dealing with an opposition that is largely insane. And that is scary. The Fuhrer was considered by those who knew him to be insane. Yet he became the Fuhrer and master of almost all of Western Europe and Central Europe. A person who's insane can rise to very high positions. We now have a person who's clearly insane. To me, I'm not a psychiatrist. Well, I am a psychiatrist. As vice president, I have very important Democrat congresswomen who are clearly insane. And yet they have tremendous influence within the party. There are very important people in the media world, including Don Lemon, who to me, at least, just to me, I'm not a psychiatrist, I'm not an expert in homosexual behavior, clearly insane. But it's scary to think that we have such incredibly important people who are clearly insane.
No, you're completely right, which begs the question, because people often... How many people in Hitler's inner circle, Ben, and you know this better than anybody since you've watched every documentary about Hitler
and
ever
read
made.
Many books,
and read, many, and read books. Many books, of course. How many people were actually really that smart?
Well, Speer was very, very, very smart. Really, really, really smart. Some of the generals were very, very, very smart.
But for the most part,
I think Goebbels was very, very, very smart. I don't know. Speer was the main one who was just super smart and super capable.
Of course, he lived long enough to write a biography. That always helps.
Well, an autobiography, yeah. He did. Well,
your last guy standing, you're like, hey, it was me.
Well, actually, the last guy standing was S. S was in solitary confinement for the rest of his life. After he crash landed in Scotland in 1942 or in England. But from what I read, I didn't see that many really, really smart people, but they were very aggressive.
That's why I was asking that question.
And they struck first. You know, there's a famous saying, a doubled is he who causes just, and redoubled is he who strikes first.
See, Wait, Ben Boychuk.
Can you say that, oh, you say that again? That was interesting.
Doubled is he whose cause is just. Doubled is the strength of he whose cause is just. And redoubled is the strength of he who strikes first.
Interesting.
And Ben, and very well said, Ben Boychuk. The reason I bring that, I know you didn't, but it's still well said.
Well,
it's
you.
It's like a tongue twister of a thing to remember. Ben Boychuk. The reason I bring that up is because it drives me crazy when people talk about how smart certain people are. And
wait a minute, who are we talking about here?
It doesn't matter. I'm saying Ben Boychuk. You're referring. They think there's a certain smartness to get where people have gotten, right? I don't think so.
I think it's as much cunning and timing and
it's just being in the right
and,
place
and what and what smart means.
Right. I'm not saying personally that they're smart. What I'm saying is that certain people refer to some as smart. Listen, is Rahm Emanuel a smart guy? Everybody quotes him on a daily basis. Not Rahm Emanuel. Which Emanuel came up with the never let a good...
That was Rahm.
It was Rahm Emanuel.
Yeah, that was Rahm.
Is he a mad genius?
His brother was my agent. He was he's a scary guy.
Yeah. Really?
Struck
really
first?
Scary.
Oh,
very,
wow.
Very, so scary, very scary.
Known to everybody as the Entourage guy.
Very, very. Oh, he was very scary.
Do you have a
wow?
Do you have a story that's not under non-disclosure?
Oh,
you're afraid of him? He can't kill you. Come on, Ben.
No, I'm not gonna tell it.
But Ken, you get it. It gets to my point. You've been in a news organization. Like some of these people aren't exactly the sharpest tools, but they were really good at what they did, Ken.
Yeah, I find that. Well, smart can mean a whole lot of things, right? You can
no, not
math.
Really, not
well,
really.
Well, but you can be a good mathematician and not understand music. You can be Beethoven and not have a good memory for history. So smartness brings in a lot of things that our brain does, from computation to memory to women have a special smart of understanding human emotion because they read things that we don't do and they understand that.
Very unique power at understanding men.
Sure, sure. And probably women, because it was evolved into them over a lot of time. They had to be the politician while the guys were out killing shit and coming home. So I've never seen anybody super dumb rise to a high level. I've seen some people get lucky.
You haven't?
I think they are smart in a certain way.
But God bless you.
Joe Biden used to be smart.
Oh, really? When, he lost
well,
it.
I don't know.
He was last in his class at a nondescript law school.
It was a lower
started his career.
And told people that he was first in his class.
Plagiarizing word for word.
And this is, and not to mention, this is coming from Obama's own defense secretary, Gates, who said he's been on the wrong side of every foreign policy decision ever known to...
Over the past 40 years.
Ben Boychuk, there are quite a few people that have risen to the top that are absolute idiots. It's not that there's a time and a place. People get up there, Ben.
Oh, sure. Ben, you might remember this, but I'm searching for the name. Who was the senator? It was a Supreme Court confirmation, and the guy did not get confirmed, but who was the senator who said even the mediocre need to be represented?
Yeah.
Who was that?
It's funny you ask that because my son lives in Greenville, South Carolina, and very near where the hotel we stay in where we visit him is a federal courthouse named for that gentleman. And I can't remember the name offhand. But there are an awful lot of the quotation was there are an awful lot of mediocre people and they need someone to represent them.
That's it.
And to quote your former boss, most of the people serving in the House aren't fit to be dog catchers.
He said most of the Republicans.
Most of the Republicans in the interest. So he was being completely honest about that. And if we do look around, if you look at a person like Mazie Hirono from Hawaii, I don't care who. I mean, you want to look at the people from Hawaii.
So who are the dumbest ones on our side?
Who are the dumbest Republicans? Well, oh, there.
Ted Cruz.
Obviously, Ted Cruz has staked his ground. No, I think there's quite a few. I mean, Ken, we've called out Republicans constantly on this. We're not at a loss for calling out Republicans.
And yet, I think Ted Cruz graduated. I read somewhere he graduated high in his class from Harvard Law School. Harvard Law School is not kindergarten. It's pretty serious stuff.
And the only defense.
Our dumbest guy is smart.
He's extremely book smart. He's missing a social aptitude. Apparently,
so, I mean, there's certain types of intelligence that's different than others, which I said, and you mocked, Judah.
No, I mocked as. Yeah. Okay. You know what?
Smart is different from intelligent.
All right. Never mind.
Yeah, I have no interest in arguing with Ken LaCourte. Ken. You're completely right. I've been stripped of all our being argument.
I'm beating up a guy with COVID, so it's no fun.
And it makes me feel happy. It also makes me happy that I didn't say one thing. And if anybody could guess that one thing. They win the prize, a dinner date.
I can guess what it is.
A dinner date with Ben Boychuk. What's the one thing that I didn't say?
Fuck you.
No, that wasn't it. No, you didn't say what's the one thing you didn't say that you were thinking.
Oh.
Okay. We are wrapping up out of time. Ben Boychuk, American Greatness. What's going on? Kelly's new book.
The appallingly amateurish American Greatness. The great thing I encourage everybody listening to do is to go out and pick up from the store, the bookstore, or from order from Amazon or Barnes & Noble, Julie Kelly's brand new book just out, January 6th, How Democrats Use the Capitol Protest to Launch a War on Terror Against the Political Right. You can find it at any semi-decent bookstore, Amazon. But
how do you spell Kelly?
K-E-L-L-Y.
That's why, because she's Kelly.
I will order
K-E-L-L-Y.
January 6th.
I will order it right tonight.
Ken LaCourte, tell people what you're up to.
Our biggest thing today is compare January 6th with the bombing of Pearl Harbor and the start of World War II for America. And then look at what media is saying what and what politicians are saying what and choose who you believe to trust.
And of course, we don't trust Republicans, but we have to vote for them. And of course, you could find Ben Boychuk. Something really happened to your lighting in there.
I don't know.
You could find Ben Stein, of course, at benstein.substack.com. You could find them on spectator.org. And of course, you could find them on Newsmax. I want to thank everybody that's been watching and listening tonight. Remember, just take it easy on yourselves. If you're not feeling well, get some vitamin C, drink some orange juice, take some vitamins, drink some Gatorade. Self-love, everybody. Take care of yourselves and try to take care of the people around you. It's the best thing you could do. Ben Stein, please take us out.
I walk in the garden alone. While the dew is still on the heather, and the joy, well, I can't tell, my voice is too shot. I'll just end by saying something a little more simple. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above, from the mountains to the prairies, to the oceans, white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home.
God bless you all. We will see you Saturday night.
Hope you feel, and let's all hope and pray that Judah feels better.
Thank you very much. And thank you for everybody that reached out to me and all the support I got from everybody wishing me good health. It means the world to me. So thank you.
Judah, feel better.
Thank you.
And stay away from Ben Stein.
Okay.
Take care.